I'm here to confirm that goal scoring, pretty important. The team that scores the most goals usually wins, and that's a stat you can take to the bank. So welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am coming at you live from the newly formed, freshly refurbished corner studio for the Mitts place. My co-host is always Ty, coming from that Calgary haven he's got built around him. Ty, how are you doing today, pal? How's your week been?
You know, I'm doing well, man. I'm ready to talk some hockey. It's been a crazy week. But you know what? I look forward to this every week, talking with you hockey. So I'm ready.
I appreciate that, dude. I look forward to it myself. For anybody that is watching, you are not crazy. I am standing for this video. For the listeners, hopefully it won't affect your experience at all. But if you get motion sickness, please be aware, I will be moving around quite a bit. I can't stand still. That's just not who I am. So please, I apologize. But anyways, on with the show. First note we want to take to talk about Rodion Amirov, diagnosed with a brain tumor while undergoing treatment for an injury. Thoughts go out to him. I read a little bit about how he's, you know, kind of really, you know, trying to be an example, doesn't want anybody's sympathy, wants people to know how he's going to tackle this and how he's been inspired by some other athletes in recent years, and how he wants to kind of continue that to inspire people in spite of these challenges. So, you know, thoughts are with him, and best of luck for him, and you know, hopefully he gets well soon.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tragic thing, especially somebody so young, 20 years of age, to have such a serious thing happened to him in his life, and let's hope that it goes well for him, because, you know, he just got drafted, his life was just starting, and 20 years old. I remember when I was 20, that's so young. So thoughts and prayers are with him. Get well soon. I don't know. It's that caught me off guard this week.
Yeah. That was a bit of a out of left field for sure. But yeah, we just wanted to kind of wish our best for him and quick recovery. Next topic. We want to send a little congratulations to the Finnish men's hockey team. This is coming a little bit late, but as of recording last week, they hadn't played yet. They are celebrating still, hopefully, their gold medal win over the Russian Olympic Commission. I don't know. Finland beat Russia for the gold medal in the Olympics, men's hockey there. So congratulations to them. It's always, you know, Canadians here, we wish we would win all the medals, but it's really, really cool to see countries like, you know, Slovakia picking up the bronze. I think that's their first medal ever. Finland, I'm pretty sure I read this is their first gold medal in men's hockey ever. So that's great. That's so nice to see. And you know, if we can't win, I'd like to see teams that, you know, I can support win those medals. So
yeah, Finland's doing really well. Also, I know there was no NHL players there this year, but even if there were NHL players, you'd get Barkov, you'd get Rantanen. They're doing a really good job with the men's side of ice hockey there. On the women's side, yeah, they should probably invest a little bit more dollars and time and effort to grow that just as much. But, you know, I guess they're working on one stone at a time, right? So congratulations.
Hey, I will say, though, obviously women's hockey right now, it's Canada and the US, yeah, and then everybody else. If you were to set up another tier, though, Finland has been the last 10-12 years or so the only other team that, you know, that consistently wins. Like, basically Finland beats every other team, but then they end up losing, you know, like 3-0 to Canada or 4-1 to the US, which basically like superpowers in the women's hockey game.
Yeah, the gap is still huge. The gap from second to third is it's a mountain, and not a small mountain. So, but they're coming, they're working. Finland's doing a great job, and you're starting to see that at the NHL level. You're starting to see it now at the amateur level. So good on them. Yeah. And it's always great to see Russia lose all the time. So yeah. Sorry, Ovechkin.
Yeah. What can you do? Next up, we have Rene. Pekka Rene got his jersey retired this week, kicked off, I guess, a lot of celebration in Nashville, what with the Stadium Series, which we'll talk about in a moment. But here is an all-time great. Never won the Cup, but, I mean, that's something that we really should retire as kind of any kind of worthiness ranking on a professional hockey team player or like team sports in general, you know. Very, very, very lauded. Has, I think, most of the records, especially particularly goaltending records for Nashville. So pretty cool to see. Seems to have loved the city too, which is great. What do you think, Ty? What are you a Pekka guy or what?
I'm a big Pekka guy, but before we go any farther, Matt, I just want to say that I forgot to put up in my little fandom theory room here my beautiful Wood jersey by Wood Jerseys. And no, they don't sponsor us, but Wood Jerseys, if you're seeing this, I'm going to tag you, sponsor us. We love your work. And it's going to go right back here so everybody can see it, right? Matt has no idea that I was going to do that little plug. So it was total impromptu. But yeah, look how nice it is. The colors are nice. And this is the first gen. They've just improved. I went to the Saddle Dome on Monday and saw they had some selling there. So yeah, Wood Jerseys, if you're seeing this, sponsor us. We love your work. We need to get Maddie a Blues one to go right back in that corner. So yeah, Pekka guy, big Pekka guy. And it's funny because, again, we said the other day, like, we're getting to the age where the players that we grew up cheering for are retiring. And Pekka got his jersey retirement really quickly. It was like 1 year. He just retired last year, and now it's already retired. And rightfully so. I think he's probably one of the top Finnish goalies, if not the top Finnish goalies, to ever play in the NHL. He had 369 wins. He won a Vezina. He's, you know, he was their rock for so many years. They did go to a Stanley Cup Finals. Nashville seems to be like kind of like New York, where they just get like good goalie after good goalie after good goalie, right? They had Vesa Toskala, who was not bad for a while. Then he went to Toronto, and then they got Rene, and now they got the short king, my guy, putting all 5'11" men proud, UC Saros. Yeah, but I'm a big Pekka Rinne fan. I will say, and I should clip it on with this, the awkward high five and like congratulations line he did with all the Nashville Predators. So many of them went up for like the bro and like the hug in, and he was having none of it. Like none of it. Like, I don't know if they didn't like tell him what was happening before, but there's some funny moments in the NHL. And that was probably a top three funny moment of like uncomfortableness. So I'm happy for Pekka. It's good to see. I'm happy for the Nashville Predators. They seem to give banners away like nothing. Right. So yeah, this one's deserved though.
Oh man. A couple of notes on that. I think there's an asterisk next to UC Saros's height that does involve plus skates, plus lifts, but hell of a goaltender. Hell of a goaltender, big fan his work there. Yeah, I don't know where to go with all that. They're just, Pekka was such a great goaltender for a long time. And it was really interesting to read this week how the franchise and like I think a lot of the local sports media credits him with really helping that market. You know, they thought of it as, or maybe it was just something how they looked at it or the national media, but it wasn't really kind of a small throwaway market that even the local fandom wasn't that bought in, and they give him a lot of credit and his solid play. And I guess just the way that he kind of brought the community in to care about the team and make them invest emotionally. So that's really cool. I think we all love to see these when great players get to spend their whole careers essentially with a team and really cement that as a part of their legacy. You know, no knock against the players that move around, that's not often not in their control, but it is always a nice story and it's great. Kind of leads right into the Stadium Series game that looked like one hell of a show. Very, very cool. Also learned this week that Taylor Lewan, all-pro offensive lineman for the Tennessee Titans, is apparently a huge hockey fan and a big Preds fan. So he was there for that event, and he brought, I think, their punter or the kicker along, which was pretty hilarious. But Lewan's loved in that area as well. Really cool to see. I always enjoy seeing that kind of cross-sport relationship, you know, recognition. You know, it's something I think we all assume, but you don't see it very often. You don't see people speak out in that way very often. So that was really cool. But the Stadium Series looked like it was a lot of fun. Looked like it was a great time. We're going to talk about the most important part about it, though. Those jerseys. Ty, what what is up with all these bad jerseys being made and being distributed in the NHL?
I don't know. Like, there's this weird, I don't know if it's a marketing scheme with Adidas and the NHL right now where they're trying to modernize these classic jerseys. And Nashville, like, those reverse retro ones they made last year were like, I'm a super fan of them with the silver on the arm and the mustard yellow. Beautiful. I thought at first when I first saw the Nashville jersey, I was like, I think I'll like it. It's I don't know if I'm in love with it, but like it might grow on me like some of the other ones, right? But then they put the pants, which are a different shade of blue. And not only that, what the hell was going on with the helmets? Like, the Tampa Lightning was so big. It was so big. And then they took the three stars off the Nashville, like, guitar pick, and they put that on their helmet. And I was like, this is just too much. Like, it's just too much. And the other also, like, I want to say, like, that stadium looked amazing. And 68,000 plus fans were at that game. And I would love to be, like you said, like Nashville kind of went from being when Barry Trotz was there, we're going to grind you out. It's going to be a 2-1 game. We got Paul Kariya, who's not going to like, we're not going to unleash him because again, we're a 2-1 team. But now they're this different team. They got Philip Forsberg, who I don't know, this week, all of a sudden Andy Strickland said he was going to be traded, but I'm going way off topic here. It doesn't take me a lot, but the ice, like the angle they shot the game at, the ice looked so skinny that you couldn't really see the puck on the one side. And I'm like, why not just go up a little bit more? Like, we know you have the technology, right? We know you're the NHL. We know you've broadcast tons of these games, but this ice is insane. But it's cool to see also like these teams in warmer climates getting out outdoor games. They're a little overdone sometimes, but this one was pretty sweet. Good on Nashville. Let's chill it with the jerseys. They don't have to be super modern. You guys can make good classics. Like, look at the blues, the one behind Maddie right there, that's done right. And then the Buffalo Sabres just ripped off theirs and basically just take the blue off and put their logo on. So yeah, I don't know.
Smash. That's why I loved it so much.
Yeah. Smashville and Tampa, you guys got big Fs, like big.
Yeah. I think I saw some people getting kind of didn't like the smash fill. I had no problem with the idea of calling it. Like, if that's fun, and that's, I guess that's the whole idea behind some of this stuff, I think. Yeah. I'm on board with that. Just lean into that. What I didn't like is how it looked like the design for the rest for the jersey itself was, you know, put together in MS Paint in 30 seconds before the presentation. Yeah. Like, it was just like block, block, block. There was nothing slick about it. I just thought it was, you know, it just looked so phoned in. And maybe I am a little sensitive about the idea of lazy phoned in logos sometimes, but I just don't understand this. I don't understand how this gets passed along as like, look, if you don't want to try, then just use the classics or throwbacks. Like, I love the original, like, mustard yellow with the saber tooth on it. I loved that jersey. I thought it was so different from anything else in hockey, and it stood out. It was unique because it was almost an undesirable color, but they took it and they owned it, you know. And I like that. And then you go over to Tampa, and man, you guys have won championships back to back years. You got some money to spend on something more creative and more interesting than just going with the bolts diagonally. Like,
yeah, team,
you know, like, it's just so phoned in. It's so lazy. It's not interesting or fun. It's not really classic. It looks phoned in. It looks like these guys are just slapping this together last minute and don't actually care. It's just about getting another jersey variation out there. And again, we all know that this is a money-making business. We've talked about this previously, but it really works best when we pretend that it's not just about money and marketing.
So, yeah. The Smashville one, the problem that I had was, why were all the letters different sizes? Like, if you're going to embrace Smashville, and I'm like one of the most, I like unique stuff. Like, if you guys have seen my man cave, which you guys have seen both sides of the wall, I'm a little over the top. I like that stuff. But like, just the letters, like, why? Why would the S be like this big and then the H be like this big and then one L be huge and then the other L be like, I get it. You're trying to be creative, but you're a little over the top. And like you said, Tampa Bay has won cups. They've got a lot of extra spending money right now. They have a great classic jersey. Great classic jersey. The one that they wore in 04, the white.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful jersey. Why not bring that back? They haven't brought it back. Instead, everybody tries to do these diagonal lines, Colorado, New York, Pittsburgh just brought theirs back this year. They're cool, but like not every team needs it. Like they don't all look good, right? So I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you. I think next week or like in a following week, we should just like get all the outdoor jerseys and just like tier them. And we could do like a fun game, like where we just have build like the tier box and we'll just like Bar Down does it all the time. But we should do like, cause there are some great ones, but there are some god awful, awful jerseys.
I think we can point to some of the jerseys, the warm up and practice jerseys that the Canucks have released recently as alternative to what they normally have, but just they look so good. And you can tell that somebody put a lot of time and thought and effort into making this both represent the team and represent something new and interesting or unique or different. And it was they're beautiful and they're gorgeous. And then even the Canucks, and I'm not trying to pile on here, but even the Canucks, when they were wearing the flying skate in their recent game against the Flames, we won't go into bit on that. Man, those looked fantastic.
Yeah.
They looked so mean and dirty. Like you got to assume that the jerseys alone gave them four or five of those goals.
Yeah. They were just so caught off guard with how like good JT Miller looked in that black flying skate jersey. Yeah. The Canucks are like hitting it out the Chinese month one, I think it was, the black
New year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it the lunar year?
Was it the lunar year? I think. And then there was also like, I think,
they did a pride one, right?
Yeah.
They did the lunar year, on Tuesday or Wednesday was the Black History Month one, which was unbelievable. And like, they're getting actual artists that like are, you know, it's either a black artist or an Asian artist, like people that are actually like, they know what they're creating, and the art that they're making is beautiful. And they still keep the logo. Like the lunar year one was like, instead of a Canuck was a lion, or it was a tiger or something. I can't remember, but like what I should do is just tag all these. Los Angeles did a sweet one yesterday too. They did a Star Wars one. That one was kind of cool. You're starting to see a little bit of creativity with some of these, like, you know, markets that know that they can sell them, right? And they all go for auction. They all make a ton of money. And so, yeah, I think it's awesome. I love the creativity. And then you watch yesterday, which was Smashville and the boring Tampa.
Yeah. I don't know. It's strange. I mean, I guess we're not going to love every jersey. Not every jersey is made for us, all that kind of stuff. And that's fine.
Even the Devil's Pride jersey they made this year was sweet. I thought like all of them, like there's just certain markets that are starting to hit on these, and I love it.
I think if we can just quickly sum this up by really bringing this back to blaming the Devils for putting so little effort into their jersey and like setting the bar so low that all these other teams were comfortable just phoning it in.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I mean, at least it doesn't just say jersey on it and it's plain black and it looks like a stock photo.
Yeah, I will say this. So we crap on New Jersey for that jersey. Crap on them for the New Jersey jersey. But you know what? It's still selling a ton because it's like everybody's getting a kick out of the jersey, right? So it's awful, but people are buying it for that. So it's working that way. I see all the time, we follow a lot of Devil fans and they're like, oh, look what came today. Or the guy on the Adam Wilde podcast with Steve Dangle has the hat, right? That sold out really quick. So at least they made like a little bit of a market out of it. Let's just take a minute, and you're going to have to bleep this out, just to on the Toronto Maple Leafs loser arena jerseys.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think we did. I just have to bring it up again because it was so bad.
It's bad enough. It deserves it. Yeah.
It's so bad. So I'm sorry. We're going to have to edit like one little beep. And if you're watching this on YouTube and the screen cuts to like a radio version with the, I'm sorry, that's because Tyler swore. But yeah.
It was perfect. I love how much of that was not planned, but yeah, fair enough. It's we're just sharing how we feel, guys. We're sharing how we feel. This is like therapy for us. We really appreciate all of you listening to this. I want to talk about something that needs to be brought up. It needs to be addressed. And I don't know if this is going to get us heated in any way, shape, or form, but I feel like I have strong feelings about it. Claude Giroux has been heavily rumored that he's going to be moved this season.
Yeah.
Lifelong Flyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about the modern Flyers right now, you think of Claude Giroux. Awesome player. Played for Team Canada. Has had success there. As things stand now, he is set to play in his 1,000th game on March 17th. The trade deadline is 4 days later. Mm-hmm. I think it's been discussed, it's been put out there, that while that would be nice, Claude and the team both agree that that shouldn't impact whether the right trade comes down. If the right trade comes in for both people, I guess all parties involved, then they're going to pull the trigger. But how can you even really consider that? How can you, as a franchise, want fans to take you seriously if you're going to basically try to benefit off of a franchise hero right before giving him the type of recognition that most players never even get close to? You're going to send him off to get his silver stick in New York? Like, come on.
Yeah, the Claude Giroux, I think that, and I'm careful how I say it, the Claude Giroux trade scenario this year is a huge representation of the failure ownership and management has had with the Philadelphia Flyers. They've had some good teams. They went to Stanley Cup Finals against the Chicago Blackhawks. Claude Giroux, that was kind of his breakout. He's been a pain in the butt for Sidney Crosby for how many years? He's a gritty player. He's a hell of a player. And I don't think he really, I know he's saying that, yeah, like he's open to a trade, but the guy lives and breathes Philly. You know what I mean? Like when you think of Philadelphia, that's what Claude Giroux is. He's got 1 year left of eight and his cap is still 8.275. I'm going to stay optimistic here. And I think he stays in Philadelphia for his silver stick. I really do. I think trying to get that cap to a contender is going to be extremely difficult. It's going to probably require three teams. And I hope as a fan and a fan of Philadelphia Flyers that, you know what, I'm sure they're just saying their part, but Philly, you have failed your fans for 3 years now. You guys have not improved at all, where your team was built for this moment, right? You shipped off Jakub Voracek this offseason, blaming him. Columbus seems to be doing okay. Like they weren't projected to, make the playoffs, but Patrick Laine has kind of revitalized himself with Voracek, and they're doing well. Where Philly is just a dumpster fire, and you got the head scouts like blaming, it's just give the fans something good. And that's Claude Giroux getting his 1,000 game, then move him.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. How many trades, like we've seen a couple now. We saw the Tyler Toffoli trade happen really early. Calgary's trying to get out ahead of it after losing out on Eichel, Stone. Like previous, they've had a lot of bad history. And then you saw Kyle Dubas, who also, but that's kind of his MO. He did it with Jake Muzzin and Jack Campbell before, right? Too, way before the deadline. And Kyle Dubas should never trade at the deadline. I'm going to stay optimistic. I think he'll get a silver stick in Philadelphia. And I really hope so, because I think he deserves it. The fans deserve it. And that ownership. Yeah. I think, I don't know. They also should just, yeah, it's so tough to say because it's a weird situation.
Yeah, I think that from my perspective looking at this, and I was just looking it up because I was curious. This is his final year of his contract. So yeah. He's UFA at the end of the season. So obviously in a bubble, it makes sense to try to get something out of that, because he can just walk and then you don't get any, even if it was a second round pick, a first round pick, some players, doesn't really matter. But I think that right now, I think what Philadelphia needs to acknowledge is right now, the people that are in the building either shouldn't be or won't be involved with how the team moves forward. Mm-hmm. So don't allow them to make these types of decisions, because they've to my perspective, they've already proven, and they have a track record of making bad decisions that hurt the franchise. So they can't do this. They can't trade away this guy right before he's going to get his acknowledgement. You need to keep him in-house, acknowledge that. And I think this is a situation where the best thing to do for the franchise and for the player is actually to finish the season with him on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that any kind of asset for that, any kind of cap relief in, you know, from the business side would be looked at as a positive. But I think as a franchise, you need to let your fans know that, you know, you're committed to them, that you're committed to these people and these players that they're investing in emotionally. And so you can't just abandon them. You can't just make purely business decisions right now. They do need a bit of a rebuild. And I understand that might help it a little bit, but at this point, you're talking about a pure rental player that financially only a handful of teams can make fit, probably even if a third team is involved. So maybe move some other pieces, maybe do some things, but let Claude finish his Flyers career there by getting that recognition, and then move forward. You know, if he wanted to re-sign in the offseason for a super cheap contract that makes sense for them and wants to stay on as a mentor, allow him to make that decision for himself. If he wants to go and challenge for a Stanley Cup, well, history shows us that most of the time, impact players need to spend more than a month and a half on a team to have that impact.
Yeah.
Deadline trade superstars rarely really get a team over the hump. So it's not really going to help him at all. It's going to put him in an uncomfortable situation. Let him finish things out. Let him get that ending in Philly. And then if he wants to move on, move on.
I will say Fletcher did say that it's Giroux's decision, right? It's kind of, and I'm going to just be brutally honest here as a Flames fan and talking to the Flyers fan, we had Jerome McGinley, very similar situation. Jay Feaster knew his time was up with Calgary, and he had Jay Bouwmeester and he had Jerome McGinley that were both UFAs or just needed a fresh change, right? And he gave him that option, and he had a better deal with Pittsburgh. And I mean, with a better deal with Boston, and he ended up just trading him to Pittsburgh because that's where McGinley wanted to go. Calgary got zero for that trade. Nothing. Dippo. Not a thing. It's one of the worst trades that we've ever had in history. You know why? The cap hit is so big, and you know he's a UFA, and he has all the control, that teams aren't going to be paying an arm and a leg for this guy. They know he gets to choose where he wants to go. We saw it with Taylor Hall last year, right? That return was nothing. Sam Bennett got more. And at the time, Sam Bennett was like career high, 14 goals or something. Like, that's how like these deals are. Now he's looking really good and whatever, but you know what? Who cares?
Yeah.
I definitely see a possibility of Claude Giroux not moving. And I really hope he does not move, because like Shane Doan and like Pecorino, like we talked earlier, very few players get that opportunity to stay with their franchise team. Go to Colorado. How are they going to make that work? There's a lot of juggling they have to do to make that deal work. Minnesota is a team that they can take you right now, but they're not giving top prospects. If Philadelphia fans think they're getting Matt Boldy or any of these top guys out of Mini, you're not. New York isn't giving you Lafreniere, right? You're not going to get a lot. So at least if they do trade him, let them give you like this silver stick, like honor him the way he should be honored, because it sucks when you lose a captain for nothing. And everybody was like, oh, good on Jerome. He's going to go win a cup. He never ended up winning a cup. And I will say that Chuck Fletcher has made a laughingstock of the Philadelphia Flyers. Look at what he just went out and paid for Rasmus Ristolainen last offseason. A first-round pick, Robert Haig, and a second-round pick. You know what Rasmus told Philly this year? Yeah, I don't want to sign long-term here. You just, like, you're looking like you're about to rebuild, and you just overpaid for a terrible defenseman who is now giving you the two piece, the deuces, and leaving. This team is in a terrible state. It needs to be shaken up. It it just has to. And it sucks that Claude Giroux is going to be that domino. Whatever happens with Claude Giroux is what happens with the Philadelphia Flyers. It just is. It has to be the first domino. And it sucks because losing a captain and a player that your fans love, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. If I could put my feelings aside for a moment and just wear my fantasy fun hat or my conspiracy theory current news cycle hat. I looked at the game that is on March 17th and the Flyers are hosting the Predators. Predators have recently talked about Philip Forsberg, who's going to probably need about 8.5 AAV. Also coming up contract. I mean, maybe that makes no sense at all, but it would at least allow the Flyers to honor him on March 17th with the silver stick. So,
yeah, we could get into the and Nashville's management came out and they said, yeah, we're not looking to move him. But how does that smoke get out there? You know what I mean? There's got to be some rumor too, and it's probably because contract negotiations aren't going well. And I know David Poile said they would, like, if they don't have him re-signed, then there is a high possibility he gets traded. And if we're talking about players that are getting traded, that also works out for Claude Giroux, because I think everybody will shift from Claude Giroux to Philip Forsberg. So who knows? He might just end up staying in Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be interesting. It was funny to read, just to touch on that, the Forsberg stuff, because they're saying, well, the word is that it has to be more than the $8 million that Duchesne and Johansson are getting, but it can't be more than what Yossi's getting at $9 million. And then I thought, then doesn't it seem pretty obvious where the number is? Like, it sounds like you guys know exactly where the number is. So what's going on there? And I mean, if it is that he just wants more than that, then I feels like that's a pretty simple conversation to have. But yeah.
Philip Forsberg is a top player in this league and a top winger. 8.5 seems right about that sweet spot you want to be paying for a player like that, right? He doesn't drive. Well, he drives play, but he doesn't take faceoffs. He's a power play merchant. He's really good. I was confused when the article first came out because Nashville's winning. We talked at the start of the year, and I feel like we've brought this up a lot. We were like, hey, we have to decide on who we are and what we are. And UC Saros has come in, the short king. I know you said he's not 5'11". Let's give him that. Okay, I need a hero. UC Saros has come in and basically dominated, like just been a force. And so it seems like you know what your window is. That means, hey, maybe let's re-sign Forsberg and keep going with this. We still have to pay Duchesne and Johansson. And like it or not, they're not our best offensive weapons. Why would we want our best offensive weapon to walk? So I don't know. I think it's pretty obvious choice they need to make. But if Philip Forsberg does go to the free market, you know who loves Swedish players? The Calgary Flames. They call us Little Sweden. You know what I mean? I got Rasmus right here, Michael Backlund, the top recruiter. We got Jakob Markstrom and Elias Lindholm. Oliver Shillington, come on down, bro. They got a nice little little community they got going in Calgary. So I don't know, maybe Nashville will botch it.
Yeah, well, Nashville's got to take advantage of the one good year of Matt Duchesne's career, the last five. So
it's so true. He totally settled, right? Like, he started really hot and now he's like, oh, this is the Matt Duchesne we love. The guy who doesn't bring it every night, but wants to be paid like a superstar.
Oh, man. So I thought we'd also touch on this because everything you see everywhere is trade deadline this, trade deadline that. People are trying to work out scenarios. And obviously, we just did a little bit of a fun chat about it there. But I think one of the big reasons why we haven't gotten into it is there's just really it's all smoke right now.
All smoke.
And I think what's throwing people off is, you know, we all have these natural rhythms that we go to that we don't really even think about. Naturally, this would be trade deadline season. Mm-hmm. If it was any other year, we'd be looking forward to watching TSN or Sportsnet for 12 hours straight, where they would just be showing us the same content over and over again, because that's really fallen off as a deadline day, but that's neither here nor there. But this year, the trade deadline isn't in February. It's in March, and it's not even in early March. It's at the end of March. We're a month away, 4 weeks away from the trade deadline. The pressure just isn't there like it is. The financial situation is very different in terms of the league and the cap than it has been in a number of years. Everyone's trying to be clever and trying to make things work. And quite frankly, there's a lot of teams that still have ideas about being relevant this year, you know? So I don't know, guys, I'm speaking directly to the listeners right now. I will talk about trades once they happen, once there's some meat on that bone, but right now just be speculating is just, it sounds a little bit annoying. It sounds about as realistic as my Claude Giroux for Philip Forsberg suggestion there.
Well, and that's what it is, right? I think we're in a weird, like you stated, the financial difficulties the NHL's been through is a lot, even though the owners are still going to get all the money back via escrow. They still lose ticket sales and all that kind of stuff. But stadiums are finally getting full again. Teams are finally starting to see like a little bit of, you know, a little bit more money coming in. But you know what hasn't gone up is the cap hit. And all the players this year on the so far trade list are huge ticketed players. Thomas Hertl, I guess his cap is adjustable. Like is you can consume that. Okay. You have John Klingberg, who's ask in the offseason is a lot. You have Claude Giroux, who's 8, right? You have Philip Forsberg, who's over 6, who needs a contract extension. And teams are starting to really learn that. And like let's talk about this too, is Calgary did do a deal. They went and got their guy. They went and got Tyler Toffoli from Montreal, who all of a sudden, like, he must have been the cancer in the room because all of a sudden they're reeling off wins. Right. Even though Martin St. Louis said that was the captain, like unofficial captain. But even Daryl Sutter and Brad Living said is it's unrealistic for, and we've seen it time over time, for a player to come in and in 2 weeks and 3 weeks really get comfortable and ready to go. So really you're paying a premium price for a subpar play, which is the truth. Like you said earlier in this conversation, trades that happen right at the deadline rarely work, right? Look at Kyle Dubas last year with Foligno and Leafs, right? Like you got how many games for him? And then he went to Boston. You paid a premium for him. So
much.
At least Kyle Dubas learned, right? Went out and got their guy this year. And he's already made a vocal. He's been sniffing around JT Miller. He went and got his D-man early because he knows that they have to get ready and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't think this trade deadline is going to be that big. And to be honest, I think there's only a few really locks in like what's going to happen. If JT DeBiller does get traded, I think all of us are probably betting on the New York Rangers. Elliot Friedman's been beating that drum forever. And usually he's fairly right, right? He usually has the one or two teams that are in it. I think Jacob Chychrun is a lock for Los Angeles. I think that's been the biggest beat for him too, but that's all speculation. There's nothing leaking. There's nothing like that, right? Tyler Toffoli was a lock to Calgary or LA. That was a lock, right? They've been saying that from the get-go. Everything made sense. Old coach, lots of old teammates. But yeah, the John Klingberg is fascinating to watch because what is Dallas? Thomas Hertl is fascinating to watch because what is San Jose? What are they going to do after this year? So yeah, I don't know how busy it's going to be, but there's also not a lot of smoke, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. There's just not even that much. It is that leads us to believe some things are certain, you know. Yeah. And it'll be saying, who knows, maybe they'll pull something off and surprise us all. We hadn't planned on it, but I do want to talk about Montreal for just a moment.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty vocal about the fact that Martin St. Louis wouldn't be successful. And they're flying right now. So good on them. I want to give credit there. I thought about it in preparation, like for our chat today, I was looking at that and I was like, oh man, Montreal's reeling off wins. That's so funny because they're in the basement.
Yeah.
And then I realized, while they do have 2 first round picks going into this draft, they don't have their own first round pick.
No, they do. They do. So Arizona gets the worst one. So whichever one's worse, Arizona gets.
Oh, so okay.
They still have – I thought that too at the start of the year. I'm like, well, it really looks dumb that they moved their first-round pick. And a lot of people corrected me that it's the worst one goes to Arizona. They still keep the higher pick.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah,
because that would really suck. Could you imagine?
Well, and that's what I was like, because I was looking at – yeah, Cap Friendly that was showing yeah, maybe that's what it was. But it was – I think they've got, like, Calgary's, don't they? And
they got Calgary's. Now they have Calgary's. I thought they, yeah. And then they traded one for Christian Dvorak. And if you look at the details, the better Carolina's first round pick. But if either are in the top 10 picks, Montreal will instead transfer to Arizona, the worse of Montreal. So if Montreal's, which it will be in the top 10, they'll get Carolina's, which let's give Marky B a little bit of credit here. He must have seen a little bit of the writing on the wall, a little trade protection, because Arizona would have been laughing. They would have had one and two. But I do want to touch on that too. Why are they, like, why are you winning? What are you winning for? I get culture is important and all that. I get that. I love that. But what are you doing? Martin, you're not going to the Stanley Cup. You're not even making the play. You're not even going to be a top, like, bottom five team, right? Like, you're either going to be one or three. Like, what are you doing? Seattle's catching up to you. Arizona's passed you for being a bottom team. I'm just confused on the whole thing. Like, if you're going to bottom out and you move Tyler Toffoli early and you gain another first round pick and you're selling Ben Chiarot for a stupid price, you seem like you're rebuilding. But what are you doing this offseason? Doesn't it make sense to go get Shane Wright?
Yeah.
Like, Brad Lambert might be okay second prize, but Shane Wright? Like, that's who you want to pass on?
And I think that this is, you know, again, Martin Saint-Louis seems to be doing something right in that room with that team, and that, you know, more power to him. Congratulations to him on that. But in terms of, like, a franchise idea, this really honestly plays right into the whole idea that I was suggesting of, like, why bring him in during the season, just promote somebody interim who to just finish off the season, because you're in a position to get some of this top end, maybe not generational talent, but, like, franchise changing talent, I think is fair to say, or franchise boosting talent,
like core building, right? Like like RNH kind of player, right?
The very important impact pieces that ideally will drive your franchise for coming years. Even in a pop, you're in a position to get that, and you could still have brought Martin Saint-Louis as, like, a special advisor to help kind of guide things. If you really loved him, if you believed in him, if you were like, you know what, this guy is the guy, but let's just get rid of Ducharme, or you could have just let him finish off the season. But you're going to get rid of Ducharme, promote somebody internally to just, and say, like, you're just an interim. This is a great opportunity for you to prove yourself, but we already have a guy in waiting. He's working on other things. Just get us to the end of the season, get everybody healthy. And then, like I said, in the off season, you've got all these great picks. You bring in Marty Saint-Louis to a big fanfare, and you pitch to your fans that there's a big change. But you get the opportunity to really sell it and market it, instead of it being just like a mid-season thing where it feels like a weird attempt to distract from things. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah. So I guess congratulations to Martin Saint-Louis for finding success right away, and condolences to Montreal as they seem to be failing at losing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I just want to give a little bit of love. I'm happy Cole Caulfield is becoming, like, the player who he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Even though Bob Hartley said that Cole Caulfield is, like, way better than Johnny Gaudreau, who Bob Hartley's still bitter about being fired by the Calgary Flames. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Andrew Hammond. It's good to see him back in the NHL winning games. That's awesome. And you know what? Even though it doesn't make any sense to me in a management way, in a team building way, and I get it, culture is important, very important. I'm happy for Martin Saint-Louis. I think like you said, there was a lot of, like, there was skepticism towards the hiring, right? And it clearly is playing out in their favor. I do think that every team that gets a new coach, St. Louis has done it Edmonton's doing it right now. Vancouver's done it. You always get this little bump, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if being a bottom team and, you know, firing your coach and wanting that bump is the right thing, right? Especially when you're almost at the end of the year.
Right.
But hey, it's working. And I was definitely skeptical, and so good on them. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm happy for some of the players, and happy they're a bottom team, because top titty Toffoli is a beast on the Flames, and you have to keep it in there because that's his nickname. But my gosh, I'm happy that he's playing for Calgary Flames now. So thank you for Montreal just sucking enough to getting rid of some of your really good players. So yeah, thank God we made Ben Chiarot. I hope Toronto just overpays for Ben Chiarot. Like, I am like, that's, if it was Christmas next month, that would be the only present I'm asking for, is Ben Chiarot in a Maple Leafs jersey for a first round pick. Like, give it to me. Come on, just give it to me.
Oh man. Well, let's talk really briefly about, because we're at time of recording, this is Sunday. Last night, the Leafs gave up a touchdown, still managed to win. What, let's cosplay as Leafs fans for a moment. Are we relieved that we got that win? Are we scared that we had a 7-2 lead and gave up five goals to a team that's not really playoff caliber? Are we having PTSD about these types of meltdowns in the past and right before playoff time? Like, what are, without, you know, actually having to speak to any Leaf fans, what do you think they're feeling right now?
Man, wasn't it like a 5-1 lead? The most dangerous lead in hockey or something? Oh my God. I wasn't watching the game at the start, like, because I was driving home from Medicine Hat, and then everybody's right in the group chat. So I throw it on and I put on my dash and driving home, and I could not, my wife was driving. Hold on. If there's any cops listening, I was not driving. The phone was on the dash. My wife was driving. That's all. I can't believe, dang it. I almost just,
oh man.
Knocked on the door. Excuse me, sir. We have this recording of you. No proof. How can you take him seriously when you play a game 10-7? And I get it. Calgary just got blown out 7-1. And then they beat Minnesota 7-3. But 10-7 to the Detroit Red Wings? Also, what's happened to Jack Campbell? Like, his numbers have been awful post-All-Star game. Like, post-All-Star, like, below .900 save percentage. I can't remember off the top of my head what the goals against is, but, like, he's been awful. So there's holes, right? There are definitely holes in this Maple Leafs team. And how does John Tavares not get a single point in a 10-point game, like, goal game? Like, a single point. I bet you the speeches were just like on par though. Hey, like, I bet you Johnny T was sitting there and he brought brought up his phone. He's like, look guys, here's me and my PJs. I've been a fan my whole life. We can come back from this. We just got to like believe in what we are from when we were just little kids. Like, I'm sure it was like through the roof motivational, but like, you're getting paid $11 million. And you can't come in clutch in a much, like, in a game that should be like you should win. That's a lot of money, you know, not to get a point. So I don't know. I think there's definitely holes with the Maple Leafs, and I think they're starting to unravel just a little bit. Am I worried about their top end talent? No, Mitch Marner's a stud. Auston Matthews is a stud. Like, top. Like, I feel like it's safe to say, I think it goes Connor McDavid and then Auston Matthews, then Leon Draisaitl. Easily. Auston Matthews got 70 goals in like 100 games or something, which is disgusting. So I don't know. I think they have holes, but only the Maple Leafs can lose to like a freaking Zamboni, not Zamboni driver, a retired, you know, do that to the Detroit Red Wings. So it is what it is. I highly enjoyed it. How about you? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I know. I think it made me laugh because look, these things can, there are one-off games, you know. Great point is that you brought up was the 7-1 Flames loss to Vancouver. Like, these things can happen. Yeah. Flames blew out St. Louis, and then later in the week lost to them. You know, like, sometimes these things, you see these big crazy swings, and maybe they're not indicative of any real thing. Maybe it is just one night, and if you took it away, it would just be a complete anomaly. But I mean, you generally don't want to see these types of anomalies so close to the playoffs. For a team that, I mean, this is probably one of the best years Toronto's had for quite some time, you know, with this group, I think. But they're still, you know, third in their division because they're in a stacked division with powerhouses ahead of you. So, you know, it's going to be tough. They're not a team that has been good enough long enough, I think, that is necessarily shown the mental toughness to just wake up the next day and forget that happened. You know, maybe if Johnny T gave a few less speeches and worked on drills a few more times or something like that, or, you know what, maybe he just needs to go and have a beer. I don't know. The guy needs to shake it off somehow. Because yeah, I think he's at like 12 game drought at this point, I think. Maybe
he's had a couple this year. It's a lot of money.
Seems to still be pretty big impact on the team, but yeah, it's a lot of money to be paying for a guy that's not scoring goals, which is really, really, really important to all the hockey fans out there that weren't positive. I'm here to confirm that goal scoring, pretty important. The team that scores the most goals usually wins, and that's a stat you can take to the bank. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'd be having, if I was a Leafs fan, I'd be having a little bit of a PTSD moment from previous year meltdowns. And what has been a banner year for them up until now, I think I'd be feeling a little uneasy. I can only imagine the media machine that exists in Toronto. I tend to avoid it and tend to ignore it. But there's a sick part of me that really wants to go find all those just juicy dramatized headlines that I'm sure are out there, you know. Yeah. Something about this soup, you know, Jack Campbell must be organic because the soup has gone bad, or, you know, somebody gives some preservatives to that, you know, the shelf life has expired. Like, there's got to be so many of those. If they're not out there right now, they're coming soon if he doesn't turn things around. And that's a highlight for me.
How can anybody, here's the only thing that sucks, is there's certain players that you like hope like never the media will like target, because they're just class act guys and just like awesome to listen to, and you can tell they have a huge heart. But like, I'm sure, how many more games till Jack Campbell, like you stated, is going to be eaten up like by this media? Like, look at Frederik Andersen. How many years was he the scapegoat? I'm watching the Carolina games on right now. He's a stud. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, man, I feel bad for Jack Campbell. Has his game fallen? Yes. His game has fallen tremendously, and it needs to be like figured out. Maybe give Mrazek more games, let Campbell figure it out. If I were going to say there's one hole, it is definitely the goaltending, right? And at the start of the year, Jack Campbell was in the Vezina conversation, right? He was playing unreal. So fix that up. Maybe get another solid number two instead of Mrazek. I don't know. It's fun to watch the Leafs unravel because the media is so crazy about them. But that's good. And they have some really good players. And I hate saying it, but yeah, I still think if they figure out soon, don't wait till the trade deadline, figure it out soon, address your holes that you need to fill, like you already have Kyle Dubas, they'll actually be a threat this year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So.
Yeah. They're just going to make sure they don't play a grinding team in the first round, because they're going to get beat by that pretty easily. But.
And that's exactly what Steve Dangle was saying. I was listening to him break down after, I think it was the Flames game. It was one of the teams that were really good. And he said, the Leafs are good. They're one of the best Leafs team he's watched, right? Like, there's just so much talent. But when the grind comes on and they're playing behind the net, the team just collapses. They're not that type of team. And so, yeah, maybe they don't play a Montreal or a Columbus or something like that, or a Boston, right? Yeah. It's just maybe they, I'm sure if it was a Florida Toronto series, it would be unreal, or a Tampa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it sounds crazy, but I'm with you. I think that they have a much better chance of getting those wins against those top teams that probably more likely to get into a shootout with versus those teams that are going to grind them down, cycle the puck, dump it on them. Yeah, I don't know. I thought watching them play and you know, not to harp on them, but watching them play against Montreal last year and blowing it, that's, you know, kind of what it looked like, is that they just, Montreal didn't allow them to skate around and shoot the lights out the same way. And they didn't really have, they didn't know what to do with that, which was kind of sad. But yeah, well, we'll see. Got exciting times, trade deadline coming up again in a couple of weeks. If things get heated up, get more juicy, we'll bring that to you guys and we'll talk about it and we'll debate it and we'll shame the losers of the trades pretty heavily. Happy to do that. And yeah, the playoffs are going to become a little less murky probably soon. I don't know, but the West is probably going to come down to the wire, I think, for a lot of those teams. But the East looks like it's been already decided. So
yeah. There's only one division I think we don't know who's in, right? The Pacific. It's all like Vegas has fallen off a cliff. They're having injury problems. But like the Central is pretty much set up, right? Like you have your top three teams, St. Louis, Colorado, and Minnesota, right?
But Nashville's nipping. They're right there. Like,
yeah, they could be a wild card team. But really, if you look at the Pacific, it is like Calgary could fall down really quickly. Edmonton could gain. LA is playing unbelievable right now. That division's gonna be fun to watch. The Central's just got juggernauts. You still don't want to play St. Louis in the playoffs. You still don't want to play Colorado. Minnesota, I feel like I'd want to play because they don't have that top center, right? They got a lot of young flashy kids that are really good. They're going to be really, really good hockey players. But yeah, I don't know, I'm excited. This playoffs will be fun. It's fun to see a full 82 game season. I know we talked about last week, but like you're starting to see these waves in the season where like teams are gaining steam and the teams that started off really hard. Oh my gosh. are falling. Just tripping over my tongue there. But yeah, anyways, I'm excited.
Well, pal, why don't we, I don't want to put you through any more stumbles like that. It's flat. The end of a long week for all of us, for a lot of different reasons for the world. And the start of a new one. So let's wrap it there. Just want to state really briefly, gang. Ty and I don't live under rocks. We are aware of what's going on in the world. We haven't brought it up in the podcast because I think we all need distractions nowadays. We need things that don't tie into all that. So that's why we just want to touch on it briefly in the end. You know, full support to Ukraine and their fight to maintain their sovereignty against invasion. Hope everything works out as quickly as possible, as good as possible for them in the near future. But we're probably not going to talk about that stuff. We want to be able to, you know, take a break from the crazy nonstop everything in the world with our podcast. We want to offer that to you as well. So, anything you want to say on that at all, Ty?
I just want to say, like, come on, no war. Like, I feel like everybody's saying the Russian teenagers, you got Russian players coming out other than Ovechkin's, whatever. I'm not getting into it, but I feel like the message has been pretty spread out there that this is I don't even know how to get into it, but just like no war, baby. Like, come on, like this is what are we doing here? We've as a collective people, the past 2 years alone has been crazy hard, and I can't imagine what's happening in Ukraine, and I feel for him, and I'm really sorry, and there's not much more I can say, but we're all
fair enough. Yeah,
so yeah.
Yeah. Yep. With that, gang, we're done. If you don't already, please follow us at Twitter and please interact with us. You know, let us know what you think about everything. You can find us at HeadsPuck. You can find this and watch us on YouTube. We're going to be on there. We'll be posting these episodes pretty regularly, but if you want to get them right away, you've got to subscribe to our podcast. We're on everything, Apple, Google, Spotify. You can find us everywhere. So please do subscribe. Give us those 5 stars. Give us some reviews. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you feel. Let us know what your thoughts are on everything that we said. So we appreciate you, listeners. We appreciate you tuning in. You can listen to a lot of different things out there. And we appreciate that you tune in to the number one amateur hockey podcast out there today. Don't check those rankings. With that, another great outro in the books. With that, thank you guys once again. For me, Mitz, for my co-host, Twigs, we'll catch you next week. Take care. We'll be right back.